I tell you, the choir is sounding better and better and better. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the Old Testament book of Exodus once again. To the Old Testament books of Exodus. We've been dealing with a series on crisis because there are so many times in our lives we find ourselves in some sort of crisis, and sadly there are some times we blame ourselves when really and truly you're trying to walk obedient to God, you do what He says, you follow His direction, follow His will, and you still can end up in a crisis. You say, well, if I follow God and walk in obedience, surely there'll be smooth sailing. You study evidence of Scripture and you'll find that is not the case. There were some times that God allowed crisis, one, for to reveal His glory and to reveal His majesty and to reveal what He and He alone could do. But let me invite you to take your Bible and turn back with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. Very familiar story that we've been looking at. And crisis in and about and around the Red Sea experience when Moses is leading the children of Israel. And they're given a directive by God to go through the Red Sea. Now, unless the Lord changes my mind, this will be the conclusion of our series. But there are some things you and I need to understand whenever God delivers us out of a crisis. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life you was in a crisis and you knew that the only way you was going to get out of that crisis, God was going to have to do it? You couldn't have finagled yourself. You couldn't have manipulated. And you're trying to be as obedient to God as you can. You're trying to walk as obedient to Him as you can. And you're in a crisis. Your crisis may be you're without a job. That may be your crisis. Your crisis may be something else in your life. But the reality about it is there are certain times in our lives that God will, in His divine love, allow us to go through some crisis. And I want you to look at the conclusion of this story. It's found in the latter part of chapter 14, verses 29 through 31. And then turn over in verses 15, verse 1 and 2. You remember they've been scared about going through the Red Sea. But listen to what happens. God has already parted the water. Verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. In those first two verses, as well as chapter 14, you find Moses declaring the goodnesses of God, the grace of God, the majesty of God. And you can really go on through chapter 15 and read more and more and more of what Moses declares about the goodness of God, the grace of God, and how God had come through for the children of Israel in a moment in which they didn't think that it was ever going to take place, and they really thought they were going to be dead. What do you do when God delivers you from a crisis? What happens in your life as the normal routine whenever God delivers you out of a crisis in your life? Now, let me say at the very outset, there are crises we can get in out of disobedience and rebellion. You can get in a financial mess. You can get in a spiritual mess. You can get in all sorts of messes in your life, not because it was the doing of God, but it was doing of the flesh. It was doing of the self. And you rebelled against the Word of God. You rebelled against the principles of God. And you find yourself in a hellish mess. Only God knows the countless hundreds and millions of people this morning that are in a tremendous mess, not because God did it, but because they did it to themselves. And then there are those crises that we find in life simply because we live in a fallen world. You know, you have family that gets sick. You have family that dies and leaves this world. And the truth about it is every one of us have a day with death because sin and sickness is a reality of this fallen world. You know, tragedy and all sorts of things. Yet the Bible also says that in the divine hand of God, there are those crises that He allows, and He allows them for one purpose. He allows them to bring Him glory. He allows them so they can be. It can be revealed that the God of gods, the King of kings, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still the God of the universe. So what do you do whenever you come through some type of crisis? Maybe you're in a crisis financially. Let me explain. You're trying to obey God and you've lost your job or jobs. And you got on your knees before God and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. And all of a sudden a job comes up and you're no longer in a financial crisis. You have an income. You have a job. You have something to go to because God has opened the door. Or you have a family crisis. Somebody in your family is sick and God marvelously and miraculously heals them and touches them and they're released from the hospital and they get to go home and they get to go about their life as usual. Well, I want you to understand that there are crises that we find ourselves in that are not our doing, that God sometimes permissively allows us a crisis because He wants to get the glory out of the situation in life. Because let me paint the backdrop for the children of Israel and the Red Sea. It was God that told the children of Israel, redirected them, and told them to go toward the Red Sea. They didn't do it of their own initiative. It was at the command of God, it was at the directive of God, it was at the leadership of God that they found themselves in a crisis. They were at the Red Sea, and all of a sudden they didn't know what they were going to do, but here's what they had done. They had followed God's servant, they had followed him right to the Red Sea, and they had been, to the best of their ability, as sensitive and as obedient to the servant of God. That's why they were there, because they were following the servant of God. They were following Moses. So God brought them to the edge of the Red Sea on purpose. The God of Scripture is still the same for you and for me. He will, and I want to emphasize, will bring you to crisis in your life because there are some things He wants to reveal and show to you and me. So let me invite you to get your bulletin out and follow along with me because there are some things we need to understand whenever God delivers us from crisis. Number one, God delivers us so that we can connect His deliverance to His love for us. One of the things that God did to the children of Israel, He delivered them, and one of the things He wanted them to see was this: I want you to know that I love you and I want you to experience my love. I want you to know it in a very serious, simple, and loving way as I deliver you from the Egyptians. You see, you and I can talk about love all day long. We can sing about love. We can read verses about love. But here is something you never, never, never can forget. When you're in a crisis, you're obedient to the living God, you're doing everything you know how to do, and all of a sudden, you're in a situation and you cannot get yourself out, and you're obeying God, and God opens a door that could never have been opened unless He did it. You see, here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to connect deliverance from crisis to His love. Now, listen to me real carefully. If I ask you, does God love you, every one of us would say, yes. If I ask you to say, would God deliver you out of intense situations, every one of us would say yes. But now listen to me carefully. Do you expect the living God to deliver you out of crisis and intense situations as you walk in obedience to Him? And see, that's where we get a little bit washy in. And we say, well, I just don't know if God will or not. Listen. You need to understand that the God who created you loves you personally. He loves you intimately. And one of the things God loves to do, He wants us to connect the dots, so to speak. The children of Israel, they were dead, and God delivered them. And one of the things God wanted them to understand was, your deliverance is a byproduct of my love for you. Listen, if you're you're in a crisis, maybe you don't have a job, you've been laid off, something's happened in your life, and you're trying to walk with God, when God delivers you, connect the dots. When God delivers you, connect the fact that He delivered you as a byproduct of His love for you. Listen, He loves His children. God has an insatiable love for you. He loves to deliver. And He don't want you just to give Him empty praise and empty songs and empty worship. One of the things he loves to watch is when you and I come to the crossroads in life and we don't know what to do and we don't know which way to turn, and we just say, Lord God, if you don't come through, I'm in a mess. I've not gotten here by accident. I've got here because I've tried to obey you to the best of my ability. You just simply watch and watch what God does, because that is the way God is. Listen, sadly, we really have a hard time believing God loves us individually. He loves us personally. He loves us intimately. That's why we have a hard time really singing songs of God. Watch yourself the next time you sing a song of God. If you really have a hard time singing about God and really singing it out and making a joyful noise, listen, you don't have to be a great singer to make a joyful noise. When you realize God's come through for you, man, you can't help but sing about it. Never will forget a friend of ours, he would said, I get on my lawnmower and I just sing away. And he said, I thought I was a pretty good singer until I came to church, and I was singing away one Sunday morning. And he said, I noticed two or three little kids, this has been years ago, he said, they turned around, they looked at me. He said, they sort of let me know that I couldn't sing. But that doesn't change the fact that God gives you a song, amen? Listen, do you really believe God loves you? You see, the thing about it is, we say, well, you know, God loves everybody, but will you be able, and can you say, God loves me and he will deliver me because he is my Lord and he is my God? You see, God wants you to connect the dots. The children of Israel, when they finally got through the Red Sea and they got on the other side, they stopped to think, listen, it was God who did it. If you walk in obedience to God, he will always come to your rescue. How do I know that? Turn to an Old Testament passage of Scripture again. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. You've turned there many times, but it's a precious passage of Scripture, and you need to look at it. Deuteronomy 28. And God is saying to the nation of Israel, and he's saying to you and me, he said, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, or if you will listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Listen, if you walk in obedience to the commands of God and you're in a crisis, you may as well expect somehow, some way, someday, sometime that God is going to bring you through. But now you need to be very careful. Are you in a crisis because God has divinely allowed it, or are you in a crisis because you've rebelled against God? Are you in a crisis because you've disobeyed the living God? You see, it is a dangerous thing to disobey the living God. It's a dangerous thing to be rebellious to the living God, because the Bible says in Samuel that rebellion in the sight of God is the same as witchcraft. Do you realize that when you don't obey the living God, you're obeying Satan? If you don't obey the living God, there's only one other. It is Satan. You're walking in obedience to Satan. And Bible says that's the same as witchcraft. And God makes it a very serious business when you and I are in crisis and it's out of rebellion and disobedience and we've done something to violate his word. But if you're walking in obedience to God's word and God's ways, God's going to deliver you. Do you watch for God to deliver you? Maybe you're in a situation, you're in a crisis. Do you really expect God to deliver you? Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Let me tell you what the average Christian expects of the living God to do for them. Zilch. You know how I know that? You watch people manipulate their life. Well, you know what? I need to talk to this person and that person, this other person, this other person. That. Listen to me very carefully. Is the living God big enough to get you out of your crisis? Amen? Why are you talking to everybody then? Why are you trying to manipulate your circumstances and talk to everybody under God's sun rather than trust in the living God? You see, here's what Moses said and what the children of Israel found out is, I don't have to manipulate. This God is going to come to my rescue. And that's what they found out. Listen, God told them, said, you don't raise your hand. You don't raise your hand or anything like that. He said, you just watch what I'll do. And he said, the Egyptians, I'll take care of them. I'll take care of all of them. They didn't raise their hand. They didn't have a sword. They didn't have a weapon. And they walked through the Red Sea, and God delivered them because God wanted them to know. He wanted them to know. on a very personal realm that he loved them in an intimate way. Now answer yourself this question. Do I really know and believe God loves me in a personal and intimate way? Do I really believe God loves me in a personal and intimate way? And sadly, so many people don't. And the end result is one thing leads to another, and they miss out on the activity of God in their life. Well, not only that, but look at number two. God wants us to realize that he'll fight for his people. Now, one of the sad realities about so many people is this. They live a stressed, frustrated, anxious, anxiety-ridden life, worried about this, worried about themselves, worried about all sorts of things. But here's the wonder of God. Now, if Jesus told you and me not to worry about a single day of our life, did he mean it? Quiet is loud. If Jesus said for you not to worry about a single day of your life, did he mean it? Yes. Therefore, if he meant it, then what does he say in his word that he'll do for you and me? Have you ever stopped to think that the God who created you and gave you life and placed into your spirit his eternal life if you're a Christian, have you ever stopped to think that the God who saved you, he'll fight for you? You know, well, you think, well, surely, you know, no, that's not God. You know, God will help those who help themselves. I've heard that saying all my life, and I want you to listen to me real carefully. That's not in one page of Scripture. It's not there. And the sad part about it is so many people live believing, well, you know, I do whatever I can do, and then God comes in. Let me ask you a question. If you go back and read carefully, the story of the children of Israel and the Red Sea, did God ask them to do something for him or help themselves and then he'd do it? No. He said, I want you to understand that I am the Lord your God. I will direct you. I will lead you. And you see, one of the things about our God is this. We sometimes fail to realize that he'll fight for his children. Now, there's not a single loving mother in here. When I ask this question, I already know the answer. Mothers, if somebody attacked your children or grandchildren, would you just say, well, you shouldn't do that? I think every single mother, they'd maul them. I mean, you'd find something. It may not be a pot. It may not be a pan. It may be something else, but you'd find something. Why? Because you love your children. The nature of our Heavenly Father is he loves his children. He loves you and me. And one of the things about his love for us is when necessary, he will make it his business to fight for his children. Watch carefully, because, you know, there are so many passages of Scripture. You can look at this in Deuteronomy 1:30, but I want you to just listen to it. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did in Egypt. In other words, Moses is telling the children of Israel, do you remember how God fought for you in Egypt? God will do it again. And he also says in Deuteronomy 24, for the Lord your God is going to be with you. He will fight against your enemies. You see, here's the thing. If God don't want me to be stressed, and he doesn't, if God don't want me to be anxious, and he doesn't, if God don't want me to be worried, and he doesn't, then how in the world am I going to live my life? Totally relaxed and saying, Lord God, you know what I need in life. You know every situation I face in life. And I'm just going to trust you to open absolutely every single door. You say, that sounds like laziness. How many of us are patient and we like to wait? Waiting is the single most difficult thing you will do in your life. Watch yourself at an extended traffic light. Watch yourself at a traffic light that for some reason doesn't think, it's not going to turn. Watch what you say. You say, somebody ought to fix that. And then we proceed to go whenever we can. The character of God is this. Have you ever thought, listen, God will fight for you. You don't have to manipulate. And yet, as I say that, I know some of you are struggling with believing what I'm saying. Because as you look through life, you say, well, you know, that's not what I've been told. That's not what does the Word of the living God say? The children of Israel walked through the Red Sea, and it was nothing that they did. All they did was stand back and watch the living, eternal, holy God fight for them. Listen to me real carefully. You've just got to answer this question. Are you as important to God as those children of Israel were? And you see, here's what we say about ourselves. And it's not, we say more about our what we believe about God. Well, God created me, but I'm not much. Are you saying that God created somebody of inferior quality? Do you say that you're not much in the sight of God? You're saying more about the God who created you. And you see, the children of Israel found out. They walked through. God showed them that day that he was their God. Now, listen to me real carefully. God don't want you to live on borrowed experiences. You've heard me say that over and over and over again. He wants you to live as he reveals himself and as he guides you and opens doors and leads you, and you're in a crisis in your life. And why does God put you in that crisis? Because he wants you to learn about him. You say, well, if God loved me, why did he allow me this crisis? So you could get to know him better. So you could depend upon him. So you could talk to him. I never will forget some years ago, one of our young people was praying about a spouse. I said, I want you just to put down specifically what you want and just pray specifically. Well, you know, God may not do that. You know, you've heard me say it, you have not because you ask not. Listen, we somehow struggle believing that the God who created us and placed into our life, into us, his Holy Spirit, we struggle believing he'll fight for us. But here's what God does. He puts you in a crisis. You don't have a job. You're in a situation. You just sit back and you just let God do what he does best for his children. And you see, here's what Moses said. The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you. You know why? Because there's a lot of situations in your life that you can't finagle, you can't wiggle out of, and if God does not fight for you, there is no getting out. Amen? Listen, God divinely allows it, but why? Because he wants to be glorified. He wants a world to watch and see what he will do, how he will work when there are people that literally put him to the acid test. The children of Israel, they just watched. And I'm sure that as they watched, they looked at that wall of water on the right, that wall of water on the left. And I can just imagine some little boy going through and looking at that. You know, can't you just imagine a 4 or 5 year old walking through and seeing that wall of water? And maybe saying to his dad, how'd that happen, Daddy? You know what? There's only one thing you can say. Son, God did it. That's what God loves. He loves for us to boast in him, to brag in him. But you know what we like to do? Well, you know what? If it hadn't been for me, if it hadn't been for this person and for that person, don't we do that a lot of times? Yes, we do. And here's what God does. If that's what the way you want to live your life, he'll let you have that way. And you'll find out that that way won't get you much and won't get you very far. Well, look at the third one. God yearns that we grow in faith. Why does God allow some crisis in life? Well, let me tell you what happens in Christ. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose, and I'll just say a person's without a job. That's easy to put your hands on, your minds on, so to speak. You're without a job, and you can't figure out where a job's going to come from, and you don't know where there's going to be. And God has lovingly placed you in that crisis because you go to the mailbox, and since there's no job, there's no check. When there's no check, that's a little crisis. And all of a sudden, you're in a crisis, and you think, Lord, don't you love me? Yes, he loves you. God, why have you allowed this crisis in my life? Just watch. Just watch. And you see, if you don't have confident faith in God, you'll be scared half to death. Now, let me ask you a question. The Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen? He owns every single position in the universe, any job, anything like that. God can cause anybody in the world to know where you are at any given time if he so desires. That is our living God. And so one of the things that God wanted these children of Israel to do was this. He wanted them to grow in faith. Let me explain why. If you don't have faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. It is literally impossible to please the living God if you don't have faith. You know what a lot of people are doing in churches this morning? They're sitting on pews and they're not pleasing God because they don't really believe God will do anything for them. It's a horrible life. It's a horrible life and a boring life to think that the God of the universe won't do anything, and that's what so many people are living, believing. Well, you know, God don't love me. I'm not going to ask him for anything because he wouldn't do it for me anyway. And we live believing that. Listen, the Bible says if you're going to have a life that's pleasing to God, you must have a life of faith. Amen? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what's God going to do? He's going to put you in a crisis, and he's going to let you in that crisis see what you do and learn you and teach you to turn to him. You know, you get on your knees, maybe you're without a job, and you say, Lord, you know, you may not know it, but I'm without a job. Well, he knows that. You get on your knees, and he knew that without a job, he knew you go to your knees. So you got on your knees and you said, Lord, my family and I need a job. I'm not asking for a whole lot of money. I'm just asking something to provide for my family. Now, let me ask you this. Did God want you on your knees? Amen. He wanted you on your knees, and he wanted you to turn to him. He had created the crisis in your life. You got on your knees. It's not anything you did wrong, but you got on your knees, and you started seeking the living God. By the way, whenever you talk about God, a job to God, you be very specific. I've said this to anybody. You name it specifically. Why? Because if you don't ask, you don't get. And so you start saying, Lord God, I'm not asking for a big job, but I'm asking for one that provides for my wife and my family, my children, and myself. And Lord, one that would be pleasing so I could be in your house on the Lord's day and be growing and learning in your word. And then you watch. Will God come through? You tell me. Always will. As that person is on their knees before God, and you start watching. This is one thing I want. Always watch. Watch to see what God does. You're going along your life, and somebody says, what are you doing these days? And you tell them, well, I don't have a job. You don't have a job. That's interesting. I was talking to so-and-so, and so-and-so's looking for somebody like you. And God connects that. Listen to me very carefully. God wants you and me to grow in our faith. Listen. Have you connected the dots between what you ask for in prayer and what becomes a living reality? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please the living God. You can go to church till you die and you've not pleased the living God. You can read this book, and if you don't have faith, you can never please the living God. And yet so many people don't ask because they don't believe God will give to them. And their life is a life of absolute sheer boredom. Because they say, well, I go to church and nothing happens in my life. I just want to ask them two or three quick questions. Number one, do you pray? Well, sometimes. Do you ask God specifically for things? Notice I didn't just say, do you just ask for things? Do you ask specifically? And what God was out to do in the life of these Israelites, he wanted their faith to grow. Now, let me explain what the word faith really means. If you don't have faith in God, you don't have confidence in him. You say, well, I'm saved by the grace of God. There are a lot of saved folks that don't have confidence in God. That's why they live petrified. They live in fear. They live scared, half to death. Listen, David the psalmist said, I won't be afraid even if the world blows up. Man, that's a difference in the way so many of us live. Why? Because he knew that everything was under the control of Almighty God, and no matter what happens in life, his hand is on it. And you see, as your faith grows, as you walk in faith, and as your confidence in God grows, you know what you start doing? You get on your face before God, and you say, Lord, I thank you for your answers to prayer. And I come before your presence about Joe. Joe has a situation in his life, and he needs a job. He needs a job for himself and his wife and three children. And Lord, I just ask you to provide for him that job. See, what happens is this. You get specific. Prayer is not just some sentimental thing. It's something that you begin, you start praying, you start expecting, you start asking, and God moves all of heaven and earth because he knows when there's a soul that believes and a soul that's asking in faith. And sadly, so many times we say, well, you know, I don't see God doing anything. But here's the real truth of it. He knows when we bow our hearts and our heads and when we pray, he knows if there's a single grain of faith in our prayers. He knows if we're praying in disbelief. Turn over to a New Testament book a minute. Turn to the book of Matthew. In Matthew 13, it's very sobering. Matthew 13, 58. Because in this one particular passage of Scripture, Jesus is walking through an entire city, and he comes to the end of that city, and listen to what he says, what his indictment is. Jesus has walked through, I believe it's Capernaum, and as he's walked through Capernaum, people were offended and upset at what he said and what he taught. But listen to verse 58. And I would pray you underline it. If you underline in your Bible, listen to what it says. And he, what's the next two words? Did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. But Jesus, you've got the power to do anything you want. Do you realize that if you don't pray in faith, you shut down the hand of God to work? If you don't pray faith, believing and asking, you shut down the hand of holy God. And so one of the things that God does, he yearns for us to grow in faith. So he's going to put you in a crisis. Now listen to me very carefully. When you get to your next crisis, you remember this. God's going to put you in a crisis, and he's going to allow your faith, and he's going to put it to the acid test. Do you believe that the same God who brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea, who walled the walls on the right and on the left, is that the same God you serve today? That was a very weak amen. And you see, the reality is, he says, I'm just watching to see who believes me. I'm watching to see who has faith and confidence and asks. You know, when you start connecting the dots that, Lord, you mean if I have faith in you? Now, he'll never give you anything out of his will. As a matter of fact, if it's something that's not in his will, the wisest thing you can say is, Lord, cancel my request. I want your will to be done. But you know what you'll start praying? You'll start being excited. You'll start praying for situations and people and circumstances, and you'll get excited because God's out to grow your faith. In other words, he's out to grow your confidence in him. I don't think there's anything any more discouraged and any more disheartening than to look a person in the eye and say, you know what? I don't have 1 ounce of belief in you. I don't have 1 ounce of confidence in you. But you know the sad reality about it is? That's the way so many people live their life before God. They never ask him for anything. And I'll say this, you can live your life and never ask him for anything. And you know what? When you get to the end of your life, you'll find out you've received exactly what you've asked for. You've asked for nothing, and you've received nothing. Well, look at the last principle. God expects praise and thanksgiving. Now, whenever God delivers you out of a crisis, whenever God delivers you out of a situation, and there's no way you could get out of it, one thing God expects, he expects you to praise him. He expects you to praise him privately. He expects you to praise him publicly. He expects you to sing his praises. But you know what happens so many times? We don't do that. Can you imagine God delivered the children of Israel? And as he delivered the children of Israel, they got on the other side of the Red Sea, and all of a sudden they said nothing. Maybe they said, boy, that was good. Man, Mother Nature was sure helping us tonight. Listen to your conversation and see how much it glorifies God when God comes through. You see, Moses connected them to the sovereignty of God. You can't think a thought without God knowing. Our God is an active, aggressive God. He has the simplest thought that goes through your mind. And so as the children of Israel were delivered, here's what God wanted. God delivered them. It was a God-sized task. Now, I know all of us, or maybe not all of us, but some of us have been in situations, Lord, I don't have a job, and talk about income. I'm really in a situation, I don't know where a job is. Don't you dare raise your hand at this, but have you ever been unemployed and you didn't know where the next job was coming from? You had no earthly clue as far as you knew. There was no jobs in the universe for you. Now, that's not of the Lord, but here's what God does. God allowed the children to be in this situation because when he delivered them, he was wanting them to praise him. You see, parents, listen to me real carefully. Don't you love your children to brag on you? Oh, yes, you do. Any good parent who's given their heart and soul to raising kids, you like to hear your kids brag about you. You say, now, you shouldn't say that, you know. And then we listen a little bit harder because we're human. And you've given your heart and soul to raising your children. You love them and you've invested your life into them. And listen, God loves it when we just offer him the sacrifice of praise. When we say, Lord God, you're so wonderful. Listen, it's all right to say that, God, you're so neat. I mean, a lot of kids say things in a different way, but you're just exalting the Lord God. Lord, if it hadn't been for you, you know what? It's just something. And you just said out of excitement, listen, these children of Israel, they didn't go by format or formula. They got on the other side and they praised God. You know why? Because they would have been dead. And God showed them, I love you enough, I will come to your rescue, and I'll always do it on time. Listen, David said, I've been old, young, and I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. What he's saying is, I've never seen a righteous person be in need. You know why? Because God will always come to their rescue. And one of the realities about our world that we're living in, we live in such a scared and panicky world. But listen to me real carefully. We may live in a world that's scared and panicky and shaken, and everybody's scared of so many things. But let me ask you a question. Isn't our God the same living, eternal, mighty God that he was 6,000 years ago? Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he reminds you and me is this. I'll never let you down. I'll never leave you. Listen, I'll always come through. I'll make it my business to rescue my children as they depend on me. And when you sing praise and thanksgiving, you're glorifying God. When you glorify God, there is no more obedient moment in the world than when you're glorifying and magnifying him. You're exalting him. And you hear somebody say, you know, it sure was luck. And maybe you interrupt them. You don't mean to hurt their feelings, but you know what? A wise Christian says, you know what? I understand what you're saying, but luck had nothing to do with that. Luck had nothing to do with that. It was the sovereign hand of holy God. Somebody not too long ago was called into an office, and somebody asked this person, said, could you tell us your secret of success? Because they'd seen in this life evidently something that was maybe different than the other lives. And this person said two simple words, answered prayer. You see, the thing about it is we can come to church, but the God who saved you wants you to know that he is going to always come through for you in the crisis of life. Whenever God delivers you, exalt him. You may say, now, Pastor, I've been in a crisis, but my crisis was a tragedy, and I lost a loved one, and they went home to be with the Lord. Think about it a minute. Listen to what you said at the last. They went home to be with the Lord. No greater place in all the universe than being in the bosom of the Father. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day. I get to see him and behold him face to face. But friend, I don't know where you are in your life, but God promises to come to your rescue if you will simply have confidence in him. Maybe you're in a crisis and you've not even got on your knees. You just don't believe God loves you. That may be your belief, but that's not the truth of Scripture. A verse we say all the time, for God so evidenced his love. He loved the world so you could have eternal life. With heads bowed and eyes closed and